Rise and Shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:06 in St. Louis. You're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, Timothy Michael McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Sullivan Vaughn with you. Doug, heads up, it's snowing.
Yeah, I noticed that out there.
Watch this. Heads up, it's snowing.
Okay, I don't need the heads up.
Roads weren't too bad out
there. No. I saw one guy was going about 25 miles an hour, and so everybody in his lane was backed up for a mile, trying to change lanes and everything, and then they'd finally scoot over, and then that would cause a guy behind him to slam on the brakes. It only takes one or two guys going really, really slow, and it all backs up.
Why don't you get out there with a couple of flashlights and direct traffic then?
Not that this is the time to really put your car through its paces, but you gotta move a little bit or everybody gets backed up.
Well, the roads, though, weren't too bad
in
areas I traveled.
Mm-mm. No. How fast did you go getting here?
I went around 55.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Not too fast, not too slow.
I couldn't go that fast. I was like 45. I mean, I could have, but the rest of the traffic wouldn't go any faster.
You know, when I got to the St. Charles area proper, when I got off on the exit there, that road hadn't been plowed, so I went a little slower.
Plow me.
Mm.
And some guy went right up my my tail, like I'm holding things up. It was that was the only slick part. I hadn't been plowing yet.
A little quicker.
Yeah.
You can call in with your tales of plowing. At 855-CUB-TALK, those are the appliance discounter phone lines. Buy local and help the St. Louis economy. Appliance Discounters, the largest locally owned appliance company in the area with six great showrooms. They're coming soon to Concord Plaza on South Lindbergh. TheAppliancedDiscounters.com. No call on 800 numbers if you ever need service. It's Appliance Discounters. They have their own service department. It is the BP Credit Card, 7 o'clock hour. BP Credit Card, the sponsor of our 7 o'clock hour on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, a program that really invites you to become part of it by calling in or by texting in 855-CUB-TALK. And then you can also email in the morning after at InsideSTL.com for our Hot Shots email of the day. BP credit cards for a limited time. Open a new BP credit card account and get $20 paid as a statement credit after your first BP purchase within 60 days of opening a new BP credit card account. Subject to credit approval, see station for details. The offer is valid through January 31st. 2017. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, a rare 7 o'clock guest, but I am really looking forward to this. The alderwoman of the 6th Ward, Christine Ingracia, is going to be with us. Doug, when politicians have something to say, This is the show of record.
Where is that 6th Ward?
It's right after the 5th Ward, nestled in between the 5th and 7th Ward.
It is the ward in which the MLS stadium would be built. So, in that Union Station.
Oh, it is.
When Harry's was operating, that nape of the woods, neck of the way, what are you doing here?
It doesn't seem like there'd be very many people live in that 6th Ward.
Well, but that is
pretty much
Midwest
all commercial.
Has offices there, all right?
Yeah, but you don't live there, do you?
My work life lives there. How dare you?
Just don't know how many residents there would be in that 6th Ward.
Three.
Maybe it's a large ward.
Ward Cleaver was played by Hugh Beaumont.
Yeah, and now he's no longer with us.
Gary Ward was an outfielder for the Twins among
Rangers also.
Yeah, thank you.
I remember him.
Hold on.
Thank you.
Good work.
We're going to be at Billy G's tomorrow. TMA brunch. The listeners are welcome to come and pony up, Doug, and you can talk with them. There's going to be delicious treats. It's where we're broadcasting tomorrow. And I've had some people email me and ask for details because they're taking off work. Does that disappoint you?
Oh, gosh. What kind of job do you have where they say, oh, sure, you want to go listen to a radio station? Sure, why don't you take a day off? This is why our economy is not working better.
Because of our show?
Yes.
We have doctors, lawyers. We have engineers. We have all sorts of well-to-do, well-heeled people listening.
Yep.
We're always taking shots. Our listenership. Tim did the demographics before he jumped into the radio business.
Right.
And he knows that they have dollars to spend. So thank you, listeners, not only for supporting us, but supporting America.
Well, I know tomorrow's going to be a busy day here, but you know what? I'm not going to be able to make it. I need to go sit down at a restaurant and listen to three jackasses conduct a radio show. And the boss says, sure, okay, fine. That'd be good. No, I don't get it.
Now, when you said three, did you mean us three or the three producers?
No, the three producers are all doing their jobs. They're all working hard, yeah.
Doug, that's tomorrow at Billy G's.
Okay.
Also today on the program, Kelly Chase with us at 8:30. Kelly Chase brought to you by Petromart. Looking forward to talking it over with him about the Winter Classic, about his experience in the alumni game, and Cam Jansen's allegations that Chase and the Blackhawks netminder were colluding on a harmless shot that the goaltender allowed to go in.
How do you think?
Serious allegations. We ought to have that audio ready to go for Chase.
How do you think Chase will handle any such questions? Honestly, he takes that stuff very seriously.
I would imagine he will attack Cam
with
a quick 6-second verbal sodomization. Doug, is sodomization?
I would have said diatribe.
I think sodomy's hotter. So Christine Ingrassi is the 6th Ward alderman. Woman? Business persons? Busman's?
Alder person.
Thank you.
Busman's holiday.
And Mike Falk of the Post-Dispatch, who appears on our program regularly, and who is covering not only the MLS story, but also the Scott Trade Center renovation story, tweeted out on January 2nd, MLS to STL bill sponsor Alderwoman Christine Ingrassia says, quote, I'm very doubtful at this point in time that the MLS stadium makes the April ballot. She, quote, retweets it and adds, kind of difficult to be optimistic when there's still no financial proposal to review and I haven't heard a peep from the ownership group. And so I'm anxious to hear from Christine because I believe, based on what I have read from her, that she was an advocate of this project, but her frustration, or perhaps what seems to be publicly not being on board now, has nothing to do with Eric Greitens, but rather the fact that she has not heard from the ownership group. And she's the one who would be putting it on the ballot, which then goes back to what's going on with the ownership group. To take it a step further, yesterday, Eric Greitens met with the investors trying to bring an MLS soccer team to St. Louis. As Mike Falk writes, it is not clear whether the Greitens administration would help make the group's $200 million downtown stadium plan a reality after the meeting. But there was a disagreement, again, with Dave Peacock and the people with whom he is attempting to work to get a stadium built, the governmental official, in this case, Greitens staff member. Peacock said, because one of the things that we, on our first show back in 2017, asked, was Greitens vocal about being anti-public funding for stadiums in his campaign? And Peacock said, quote, we had been working with an advisor pre- and post-election. We were under the impression our approach was a good one. Peacock didn't say who in Greitens' camp they had dealt with, but Greitens, one of his top advisors, said clearly that's inaccurate. So now, in addition to two people, whether you're on board, not on board, whatever the case might be, I would imagine, and this is what I said when I was on the line change yesterday afternoon, I would think, almost universally, people would respect what Eric Greitens has done in his career. He's a relatively young guy. I think he's in his early 40s. Very smart man. Again, whether you agree with his politics or not, you know, or the approach to get into the general election with the ads, neither here nor there. I think most people would say that they respect him. And I think most people would say that they respect Dave Peacock as well. But you have two parties here disagreeing on what took place leading up to the point where you have Greitens saying he's not on board with, quote, corporate welfare for millionaires. And therefore, over the last couple of weeks, putting something that looked like it was a layup a couple months ago to the point now where those covering it, such as Mike Falk, such as Tony Messenger, are not bullish on it taking place. So what happened there? And it brings me back to something that took place about 13 months ago where Roger Goodell and Eric Grubman publicly chastised the St. Louis ownership group, specifically Dave Peacock, for presenting something that he claims was not accurate. Now, at the time when that happened, you go, well, that's Roger Goodell and Eric Grubman. I don't trust them. But now you have it happen a second time, and this is with people inside the state borders, and this is with Greitens' representative, and then also our guest coming up at 7:30, Christine Ingracia, the alderwoman from the 6th Ward, who again said it's kind of difficult to be optimistic regarding this MLS stadium ballot initiative when there's still no financial proposal to review, and I haven't heard a peep from the ownership group. It strikes me as odd. Now, Jim Cavanaugh is supposed to be a guest on Frank Cusimano's show today, the Hollywood Casino Press Box, and I am looking forward to hearing what he has to say about it. But these are a couple of issues that are odd, I suppose. It's a very vague white noise word, but odd. Gentlemen, thoughts?
I think it's difficult with a governor who's not in office. You know, I think that that's kind of murky water when you're talking about having discussions with a representative of an administration that isn't in place yet. I don't know. I like the fact that they were talking and that there was apparently some positive communication out of it, and hopefully they can work this thing out. What my question was with our guests that we're having coming up, Christine Ingracia, what is her bill? Is that a bill permitting the funding from the city?
To put it on the ballot.
To put it on the ballot, okay.
In April. And there was a deadline of January 31st. Expansion applications are due by January 31st. And Kavanaugh, who again is going to be with Frank Cusimano coming up, I don't know exactly what time today, but Frank's on from 10 to noon with the Hollywood Casino Press Box, said they'd need to know by then what role, if any, the state would have in the project. And Kavanaugh says to Mike Falk in the Post-Dispatch, an article you can read on stltoday.com, I would not want to speculate on things they're thinking about. Peacock said it would be, quote, very difficult, end quote, to bring a team to St. Louis without some state financing. So, you know, one of the biggest elements of any venture, no matter how small or how, in this case, large, is having your financing in order before you fire the bullets. And Peacock, on the record, using his own name, not sources say, Dave Peacock says, you know, they were working on this in advance of the election because you didn't know what the case would be. And he said, we'd been working with advisor pre and post election. We were under the impression our approach was a good one, but he didn't say who in Greitens' camp they had dealt with. And then you have Greitens' senior advisor, Austin Chambers, saying, quote, clearly that's inaccurate. Well, that's a real problem. It's a real problem. And like I said, this isn't pro-Peacock, pro-Greitens, anti-Peacock, anti-Greitens. It's none of it. It's just, how the hell's that happen?
Well, I think what happens, and I have no inside knowledge, is sometimes people advising a campaign or associated with a campaign are not necessarily going to have the same role in an administration. That's why I'm saying it can be murky when you're negotiating pre-election with someone who you anticipate or has won the election waiting to take office. You know, roles change. I have no idea what happened here, but I've heard of things like that before.
Tim, you're the only one who respects Dave Peacock. Where's the $18 million? Let's see an audit on that. That's from the 314.
I respect Dave Peacock.
Huh.
Yeah, I do too. I think he's trying to do good things for the city. I don't think there's any doubt about that. A project that's this complicated and involves this much money, I'm sure it's a struggle every step of the way. And they met yesterday, and there were Kavanaugh did have some optimistic things to say that maybe it's moving forward. They are going to have to hustle to get it on the ballot for the election is in April. And Tim, did you say it has to be on the ballot by January?
The application for the MLS expansion has to be submitted by January 31st.
And I'm sure they have to get it into the alderman or alderwoman in plenty of time so that it can be properly worded for on the ballot for April. But you wouldn't think that would be a really long process.
SCSTL has done three rounds of public polling on whether the city should provide up to $80 million in stadium financing. Such a proposal is currently in the hands of the Ways and Means Committee on the Board of Aldermen and could be placed on the April 4th ballot. Peacock says, quote, the polling came back in a range we were comfortable with moving forward. So that doesn't say whether or not it is polling favorably, but it indicates polling well enough that they believe it is something that could pass, and therefore they are comfortable moving forward. That's my interpretation of that statement from Dave Peacock.
Mm. So much of these problems get back to what we talked about yesterday, is you want to build everything in the city, and the city doesn't necessarily have the money to fund a lot of it. And then when the state backs out or the county's not going to get the stadium, they're not as interested in paying for the football stadium. Just the fact that we're such a fractured community politically, that it really causes problems when you try to get anything done of this scope.
Comparatively, building this stadium compared to an NFL stadium is really a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, almost $1 billion less.
So, I mean, it would be so much easier, and it's easy for me to say because I'm not the guy spending the money, if more private financing could come forward. They could find another guy.
The problem is the MLS is not a guaranteed paycheck like the NFL is. I mean, nobody misses with the NFL. So you build a $1 billion stadium, and I think you're pretty confident that you're gonna get a return on that at some point. I don't know that that's necessarily the case with the MLS. Maybe it is. Don't know.
You're welcome to sound off on the topic, getting a billion texts about it. 855-CUB-TALK, 855-CUB-TALK. I think you have a lot of people who, when it gets down to it, I don't know if they necessarily feel passionately about the MLS. You certainly do have people who feel passionately about the MLS. But are looking at this, and it brings back memories and, you know, reopens fresh wounds from what transpired over the last couple of years with Fighting Rami and going, what in the hell's going on? And so I'm anxious to hear what Christine Ingracia has to say, and she'll be with us coming up at 7:30 here on the program. Let's see. Paul Edgerly is reportedly worth $6.7 billion. If they want to get this done, they will get it done. That's from the 314. It seems like this whole thing is just evolving into mudslinging. Give Stillman and Scott Trade the money they deserve and call it a day. Getting good things done for the city also means good thing for Mr. Peacock's wallet. That's from the Baldwin Bottomfield, Peter.
Oh, in hindsight, with the whole stadium, I mean, he was the knight in shining armor. Now people have questions. I know Dave Peacock. I think he's beyond reproach. But there has been sort of a backlash.
Anybody who's the one on the front lines and in the arena fighting, you're going to be criticized for something.
Whoa.
It's easy to sit in the top row of the bleachers and criticize those who are trying to get it done whenever
there's
a stumble.
If Dave Peacock teamed up with your butt, I mean, can you imagine the reach?
Yep.
Doug? Yeah. Well, I don't know what that had to do with it. I'm just saying that anybody who's the one out there fighting for it is going to have critics. No matter what you're trying to do, somebody's going to be critical. And if he's the guy who puts all this together and makes all this happen, and he walks away with some profit, power to him. That's how all of business works, isn't it? The guy who takes the risk, does the work, puts his money up. If it's successful, he gets the profit. That's how it works.
Not necessarily in sports talk radio. You just have the opportunity to give hot takes, and that's enough of a reward. You just pretend like you're wealthy.
Okay.
I think that's how it works. Can we just get some rich people to put the money up already?
Well, if Edgerly is indeed worth more than $1 billion, maybe he'll say, you know what, I'll pay for the state's portion. And if it's going to be it's such a sure moneymaker, in his opinion, then that'll be more money for him on the back end. Again, easy for me to say with somebody else's money.
Right.
Right, and usually guys like this accumulate wealth by making good business decisions. So sometimes going against the grain isn't something they want to do.
Because
they've had a pattern of success based on sound fundamental business decisions.
Right. And if you're governor of this state or any others and you need new roads and you need bridges and you need projects all over the state and you don't have the money to do it, then some other millionaires, and in one case a billionaire, come and say we need $45 million of state money to build our little project, you can see how sometimes they're skeptical and say, I don't know. I don't know about that. So that's where we are.
Why are people hating on Dave Peacock? This man is trying to do great things for our city. Sit down.
Well, we don't know if they were seated or standing. They could have been seated at their computer just texting in, right?
As always, Tim just reads the texts that make you look good and pat you on the back.
Good. I agree with that one. That's text of the day, even though I don't understand
it. What text?
If it's against you, I'm for it.
I read texts that were pro Dave Peacock and anti Dave Peacock, and I have no feeling on Dave Peacock. I don't know what that had to be. Whatever. This guy's been texting him for a couple of years, and could be fascinating. Trust me, if we got a chance to meet
does
him.
Does he have a text name?
We have his name and number. It's interesting. As you know, there are interesting little things that pop up. The cat, Bob Manna, says he's falling asleep.
Well, I mean, the sun's not out yet, and everyone's a little drowsy. Doug, did you get up a little earlier to shovel or salt or any of that?
I didn't have to shovel or salt. There's not enough snow out there.
And my home,
I got up about 10 minutes early.
I have a little driveway that's on an incline, so I shovel that because that could ice up.
Well,
it could ice up.
It could.
And I saw it, too.
Peacock is a great American. That comes from Jim Hayes' BP voice. What's BP voice?
It's a dialect I do for a BP commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I worked on it. It's a Cajun Swede. Cajun Swede.
A Cajun Swede.
That's kind of an unusual dialect.
Yeah. Well, I worked on it.
Did you?
I'm a method actor.
Hey, Tim, my wife told me to go out and shovel the driveway this morning. I told her to shut up, but went ahead and did it anyway. Thanks, Sean Mahoney's Deadeye.
Yeah, that's usually how it works. You tell her, you say a lot of good things to her while you're out there shoveling and she can't hear it.
I like Dave Peacock. I appreciate his effort, but he's fighting another losing battle. Brandon in St. Charles.
See, I think that's as much as anything, even the casual observer that's a sports fan in St. Louis, we just don't want to lose again. You know, like, you might not love the MLS. You might say, yeah, that's great. I'll go to a couple games. You're not a rabid soccer fan. But if you are a sports fan in St. Louis, can we win one of these? That's what I think a lot of people are thinking.
Yeah. Well, you know, the city of Los Angeles fought trying to get a football stadium for many years and could not get it done with all the money out there until one guy, a multi-billionaire, stepped up and said, okay, I'll spend the money. I'll build the stadium. That's what it took in L.A.
Agreed. But
it might take that here.
But and I think you may be right, but I will say St. Louis is different because I think, on average, sports in St. Louis more important to the residents here than sports in Los Angeles.
It is.
Because of the vast array of things going on there, this is a sports town.
But tax money is important, too.
From the 314, build a stadium in the county. It's where the people who attend games and play soccer, a.k.a. whites, are located. And the cat, don't be politically correct and deny it.
Okay, is that the same guy that's going to attack
different
me,
one.
Too?
Yeah, different one.
But here's the thing. The MLS wants it downtown, as I understand it, right?
Yes.
Okay, so... Yeah.
But is that a deal breaker?
Yeah, but why are you being politically correct, bro?
Why would that have to be a deal breaker?
But I'm not...
Well, the cat's not Gene Garner.
I know, I'm just throwing that out.
The dome argument, you know? Like, yeah, I'm for looking at the dome. I don't think it's plausible, but I'm not an engineer. But if they say no, or this is what we want, and you know you're vying against other communities to land a franchise, then you kind of have to play by their rules. I don't work for... MLS.
Oh, I didn't think you did.
Though if I did, I would spout their company line, of course.
I'm just throwing that out. Why do you think that would be a deal breaker for the MLS? They're in the St. Louis market, whether they're on this side of the city line or on that side. It could be a matter of 5 or 10 miles. Why is that such a huge thing for them?
I don't know.
You're going to capture this television market. You're going to get the money that's in this market. You're going into a market that loves its soccer. Why is it such a huge deal here as opposed to there?
I did read that. I've had no discussions with them. But from my own standpoint, I personally would like to see it in the city to help the city.
I would too. What else has the city got? If it weren't for the Busch Stadiums, the city of St. Louis would look like Detroit.
You ever been to St. Gabriel School picnic?
How about Adriana's?
Hey, the cat, Pele wasn't white, bro.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, but Franz Beckenbauer was.
Think about that.
Franz Beckenbauer.
It's just the population center is in the county. There's more than a million people in the county.
Let's see what the alderwoman of the 6th Ward, Christine Ingracia, has to say. She joins us right now on the appliances counter phone lines here in the BP credit card 7 o'clock hour of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Christine, good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
It is. It's going great. Thank you so much for joining us here on the radio program. Let me ask you this. I saw your quote retweet a couple days ago when Mike Falk of the Post-Dispatch tweeted out, MLS to STL bill sponsor Alderwoman Christine Ingracia says, quote, I'm very doubtful at this point in time that the MLS stadium makes the April ballot. And then you advanced that with your statement that it's kind of difficult to be optimistic when there's still no financial proposal to review. And I haven't heard a peep from the ownership group. That statement was pretty powerful. Have you heard anything from the ownership group in the ensuing 2 days since you tweeted that?
I did have a conversation with Jeff Abusi, who is working with the group to bring the proposal forward yesterday. I was supposed to meet with the ownership group yesterday afternoon, but they ended up being stuck late in Jeff City after a meeting with Governor-elect Greitens. So I have not spoken with them directly yet, so things are still pretty much status quo.
Does it strike you as strange that you haven't, and when you tweeted that, hadn't heard anything from the ownership group?
Sure, absolutely. I think it's problematic, especially due to timing. I went ahead and filed the bills because if I hadn't filed it on the date I did, it would have been impossible for anything to get on the ballot by April because we have to have information to the Board of Elections no later than January 24th, and we did have a couple of week recess for the holiday break at the board. And I think when you have a complex piece of legislation like this with a very significant financial proposal in front of the city and our voters, you know, having only 2 or 3 weeks to negotiate that and digest it and be able to take time to ask questions, it's just very complicated and possibly impossible to move something forward.
Is it possible that the ownership group was surprised by the fact that the governor has said that, that he doesn't want to put any state funding into this for a stadium, and that their whole equation had to be recalibrated, and maybe that's why there's a delay in getting in touch with you and working through this?
Sure, absolutely. You know, I do believe, though, that they should have been in touch with me long before, just a couple of weeks ago when Governor-elect Greitens made his first statement about the issue, and I'm not sure exactly where things stand, but as far as I know, as of yesterday, they thought that they had a pretty successful meeting with Greitens. So I don't know what that means, especially with respect to the fact that he doesn't want to hand out any sort of tax incentives.
Christine Ingracia, the alderwoman of the 6th Ward, our guest here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS. If we can, and I don't know if it's possible, to just operate in a vacuum and take out some of the things that have been frustrating with not hearing from the ownership group and not having the details of the financial plans presented to you or the board. Is this a project that you believe would be in the best interests of the 6th Ward, the city of St. Louis, and the region?
It's difficult for me to answer that only because it really depends on the details of a financial proposal. If it's not revenue neutral or a revenue gain for the city, then it's problematic. I mean, we have a lot of other issues that are very important with respect to city services and the level at which they're being undertaken in the city. We have a crime problem. We have a convention center in Dome and Scott Trade Center that need maintenance and an inability to really figure out how to fund that. I would like to see a more comprehensive plan for moving forward with respect to looking at how we are publicly financing stadiums and our ability or inability to maintain those. So at this point in time, you know, I think another piece of it, aside from the state, is the county is not at the table, and it doesn't seem to me that they're interested in being at the table for financing, and I think that's problematic as well.
In general, with what Eric Greitens said on Monday, it got a lot of people talking about something that's been talked about for years, really, and that is public funding for stadiums in general. Governor-elect Greitens calling it corporate welfare for millionaires, taking the MLS project and what could be going on in your ward, the 6th Ward, off the table in general. Do you have a stance on public financing for stadiums?
I think generally it's not the best idea. I think there are ways to make it more responsible, including, you know, there are a number of cities who have undertaken community benefits agreements with sports teams or ownership groups when they move into the city or expand franchises. And I think that's one thing that we can use to make it a little bit more palatable. And I think it's very important that we ask city voters to make that decision. And my aim with this legislation was hopefully to get to a point where we had a smart financial proposal that we could then turn to city voters and ask if they wanted to use their tax dollars to fund it.
Yeah, I think we've had butting of the heads of sports fan bases because soccer fans would like to see this happen in a new stadium built for an MLS team, and Blues fans want to see the renovations get the green light for Scott Trade. And our thinking was, at least my thinking was, that the way these things get funded, that they wouldn't necessarily be in conflict. The two plans to do this would not be in conflict with each other, but it doesn't seem like that's necessarily the case, right? It might be a case of, from what you're saying, there's just not enough money to go around. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, it depends on how we're going to fund it. Right now, we're looking at going to the voters to increase a property tax, is my understanding, for the renovation of the Scott Trade Center. We've already done that recently for the school district and a couple of other things, and then we're going to the voters to ask for possibly an increase in an economic development tax, which would include when the economic development tax gets passed. If it does, it automatically raises a use tax as well. And so I think we have to be careful and a bit more strategic with respect to how and when we're going to voters to ask for these things. And there's probably a way to do it that's responsible. But again, with the inability to provide a level of city services, I think, that our constituents are comfortable with, and that will help us grow a population instead of losing population, I don't think we're there yet.
Is there a reason why the county won't get involved in this? It seems like they've got some skin in the game, too, if a team and a stadium were built with so many county residents, no doubt customers of the building.
You know, I haven't had any direct conversations with Steve Stenger on the issue. I know that the ownership group has indicated that they have spoken to him about it. And I think it's just an overall unwillingness to sort of undertake business as usual with respect to these deals with teams and ownership groups. We have to be a lot more careful. I mean, we are already in debt still for the Rams, and we don't even have a football team. And I think it's right for people in leadership positions to be a bit more careful and cautious moving forward with these deals.
Christina Grassi, the alderwoman for the 6th Ward, is our guest right now on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, and we're discussing the financing and the issues that are now facing the MLS effort in St. Louis. Christine, you have been in office since April of 2013, so you experienced what St. Louisans went through with the whole Rams issue here within the last 12 months. As far as what took place with the aldermen and the Board of Aldermen, I recall the Roger Goodell's letter chastising Dave Peacock for what he portrayed anyway was misrepresenting the NFL's financial contributions to the St. Louis effort. And now we have differing statements from Eric Greitens, its senior advisor, and Dave Peacock as to what went on leading into the election and out of the election as far as what Greitens' position would be on public funding from the state for the project. Does any of this have similarity in your experience to what you all experienced a year ago with the effort to have a stadium for the Rams built on the riverfront?
I think to some extent, yes. I mean, the major difference is that we had a financial proposal that was very detailed in front of us that we could all go over, and that's not the case right now with respect to a soccer stadium. And I think that was the most troubling part of the NFL deal to me, was just how bad the financial proposal was. I was not really familiar with I had not seen legislation like that in the past, so I reached out to a number of economists who specialize in stadium financing, and literally no one could believe how bad the financial plan was. One of the guys I talked to didn't even believe me. I had to send it to him for him to...
I'm sorry to interrupt. I want to make sure that I understand this correctly. So you're talking specifically now about the effort to keep the Rams and the Rams stadium proposal?
Right. That's
okay.
Correct.
Okay. And so what? So you received this, and in unlike the MLS one, which you haven't received, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. So you received this Rams stadium proposal, which was put together, of course, by St. Louis, not by the Rams, and you said it was just dreadful?
Right. When I was reaching out to economists who specialize in stadium financing, they sort of couldn't believe how bad the financial deal was for the city.
So what was that all about then? Why was that even on the table?
I am not sure. I was not privy to the details of how the plan worked out behind the scenes, and but definitely was not in favor of it moving forward. Although I was in a minority at the board, it did pass. So
you voted against it?
I did vote against it.
And your reasoning, just to be specific, is I would guess I'd be putting words in your mouth, but it sounds like because the plan was just terrible?
It was a really bad financial deal for the city. It would have put us in a lot of debt and redirected money that we were collecting for public safety and a myriad of other important issues and give it back to the ownership group, which I found problematic.
Yeah. And the money that whatever it would have generated wouldn't have been enough to offset that, from what you were told?
Right, that's correct. And I did reach out to about three or four economists on the issue, just because it's not my area of expertise, mm-hmm. and I wanted to make sure I understood thoroughly what was being presented.
For your cohorts on Board of Aldermen, and I'm sure you guys discussed these things, at least I assume that, perhaps that's not fair, but what was their reasoning for voting for something that you, when you spoke with three or four economists, said was so terrible for the city that they couldn't even believe that it was real until you sent it over to them?
I think that a lot of people buy into the theory that without a Major League Football team, you know, we're not a Major League city, and that it was going to take something away from us. When in fact, I think that's inaccurate, and we have a lot of other things going for us. I would love to have kept an NFL team. I would love to have a soccer team, but not at the risk of going into debt, getting it over our heads, and not being able to have a smart plan to get ourselves out and still not be able to provide city services at a level that we should.
Based on your experience and knowing how the government works in the city of St. Louis, what's your prediction on how this stadium project will turn out?
Well, it's right now, if I had to answer that question as of this moment, I don't see a path forward. That being said, I have a meeting with the ownership group scheduled for Friday, and I'm still planning on moving forward with Board Bill 227, which would increase the economic development tax to provide funding for a match for a federal grant for North-South Metrolink expansion, which I think is a game changer for the city and the region.
You don't see a path forward? I'm just curious, because of the missing piece of state funding, or because they haven't been communicating with you when you needed information prior?
Because there's just no financial plan in front of me. I have then therefore not been able to communicate anything to my colleagues. I just think it's problematic if you only have a couple of weeks to turn around a complex deal like this. It's we shouldn't be rushing through it. We should be taking our time and make sure we're making good decisions for the city in order to turn over something responsible for the voters to decide upon.
Christine, I realize I'm asking for the perspective of the quote-unquote other side, although I don't think there's antagonism between either party. But why have you not received a financial plan? Do you have any idea?
I'm assuming because they don't have their ducks in a row with respect to how financing is going to line up. That's my only guess, and a complete assumption, because I haven't spoken to them directly.
All right.
Probably still waiting to see if they can get Greitens to change his mind. Would that be a reasonable assumption?
Yep, that's a possibility for sure. And like I said, they indicated after they met with him yesterday that they had a positive outlook and thought things were progressing in a positive light. So things may change on Friday after I meet with them. I'm not really sure. But even that being said, I still think it's problematic to give any sort of financial proposal with such a short turnaround time. And we may just need to go back to the drawing board and present it to voters at a later date than the April
election. Who are you meeting with on Friday specifically?
The ownership group.
Okay.
So I'm assuming Dave Peacock, the O'Loughlins, and possibly Jim Kavanaugh.
Okay. Got it. All right. Christine, very informative. We appreciate your perspective and very helpful to get this information. Thank you so much for taking time out of your morning to join us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Take care.
That's Alderwoman Christine Ingracia, 6th Ward Alderwoman, giving us her perspective.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. That's what I asked her. If you're the ownership group and you believe that you had reason to expect that the state would be involved in terms of financing, and then you find out that that avenue is closed, then you have to sort of retool everything. But at some point, they should have reached out to someone in the city, a representative in the city, who they're going to need to help them a little bit.
Yeah, you would think. I haven't tried to build any stadiums in the city, so I don't know exactly how that process all lines up. Weren't they asking for like $40 million from the state? Was that the state's chunk? That's the figure I seem to remember. So maybe they get together with Greitens and he says, there's no way I'm giving you $40 million. And he says, but I could give you $20. And then the ownership group picks up the other $20. I don't know. Maybe that's the kind of thing that they're compromising about, or why they're optimistic after their talk with Greitens yesterday. You never know. They're never going to tell us all the details.
And there's a difference between, I think, someone seeing something as giving money to billionaires and helping them in other ways with, you know, other funding or tax incentives, where it's not necessarily a dole out for someone who doesn't need it.
Right.
There's a million ways to get
I can
done.
See how the aldermen and women trying to build Metrolink expansion and things like that, trying to get more police on the streets, how they could say there just isn't any way that we're going to give you money when one of your guys is a billionaire up there in Boston. There's just no way that we're going to pay for his soccer stadium.
That's why it'd be a lot easier if someone with a lot of money decided, you know what, I'm going to help out here.
And it could be that's what it's going to take in the United States moving forward. With so many states and big cities in financial trouble, you're just going to have to pay for it yourself, or you're not going to have it.
That wasn't really an inspiring interview. Not that it was supposed to be, but it was rather disappointing.
Yeah.
In a potpourri of levels.
Well, one, the fact that she's saying that no one has reached out to her and she's got to get this thing organized, that's kind of disappointing. And the fact that she, even though she has a meeting set up, she right now doesn't see a path forward. Yeah, disappointing.
Your thoughts on what we heard from the Alderwoman, 855-CUB-TALK. Call in, Appliance Discounter phone lines, or text in 855-CUB-TALK. That is how you can get involved in the program. Doug, let's take a gander and see what the people have to say. Doug, buck up and buy this city the stadium we deserve. It's from the Jeffco gentleman. I didn't take that from the interview.
I could give him, if I really dug deep, maybe $1,000. That's about how much I could finance. Maybe $1,000, couple seats, maybe a row of seats if I buy them in bulk.
Is that because you're flush with cash after the Ryan Kelly refinance deal?
That's it.
You know,
I got pretty shallow pockets.
I got nothing, but I have a lot of pottery that's quite valuable that I've created with my own two hands.
Well, you never know.
I'd put some of that up.
Yeah, you never know about artwork. You know, what looks like trash to one guy is a treasure to another.
Especially those ashtrays that I make. They're beautiful.
How about our comments on the NFL plan that they were presented?
Yeah,
it
didn't make sense.
Nowhere.
And then she presented it to three or four economists, and she didn't send it over. She was explaining it to them. They didn't believe it was real until she sent it over.
Well, that sounds like a similar type of plan that was needed to get the Rams here in the first place. You got to promise them things that just... In retrospect, you say, what? What were we thinking?
The interview sounded uninspiring. It sounds like business as usual in this hellhole of St. Louis. That's from Hall of Famer Dave. Doug, you know Hall of Famer Dave.
I do know Hall of Famer Dave. I don't know that it's a hellhole, but these are tough economic times. I mean, we've had worse times, of course, but stadiums cost so darn much nowadays, and people have just lost their appetite, a lot of them anyway, for handing over their tax money. So somebody else can build a stadium.
You know, maybe it's an illusion, you know, because you used to hear, oh, we'll build a new stadium, a team will come here, everyone will get rich because of all the revenue. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work out that way. I know sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But I kind of like that illusion. You know, like it'd be nice to say, hey, if we get behind an MLS team and we help them relocate here, it's going to be great for everyone, and we get to watch professional soccer.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily, like, they're both sides that are reasonable to this argument. And it is true. You can look through, you know, go online, look 20 different studies as to the economic impact on new stadiums. There's some good, some not so good.
Right. And the cost of these stadiums have gone up so incredibly much just in recent years. Didn't they build a dome downtown for like $300 million? And now to build one, you got to spend $1 billion. 20 years later, it's three times as much.
Price.
Well, our incomes haven't gone up three times as much in 20 years. Tax dollars haven't gone up three times as much in 20 years. It's so much harder now to get anything done.
Guys, it was a bummer of an interview, but she was a super intelligent guest, and frankly, her pragmatic approach to politics bodes well for the city. I was legitimately impressed. That's from CJ in the 618.
Well, we should put politics into everything. I think people should start injecting it, even where it doesn't belong.
Tim, let's ramp up your mayoral campaign and make St. Louis great again. That's from Eric in the Central West End.
You're only eligible in the city of Kirkwood.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm electable.
Why?
I'm an agnostic sexual deviant.
That probably gets you.
Yeah, it might snag me right out of the gate.
Well, the agnostic part would, the sexual deviant might.
But, I mean, you play to your pincer base. If you play to your pincer base and then expand from
there. The pincer people.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a lot of pincer people in Kirkwood. There's probably some. There's some everywhere. They try to hide it with gloves.
What did you say about your sister had a lobotomy? You stick those pincers right out
there?
Yeah.
My father wanted my sister to have a lobotomy in the body she had.
Yeah, that's right.
And you stick those, you get those pincers out front.
See?
And people are afraid of them. They say, all right, whatever the pincer wants, the pincer gets.
Hey, Doug, can I borrow $1,000? Sounds like you've got some to spare. That's from the Bounce House Blouse.
I don't have any to spare. I'm saying if I dug deep, I could maybe afford one row of seats. I don't know how much a seat costs. Probably five times what I think it should cost. Just one little plastic seat, fold down plastic seat. Just that's probably $200.
Sometimes it seems like you're yelling at me, like when you're making a point, like I'm to blame for some of this. I have nothing to do with the seating.
I'm saying,
asking you for a loan. I didn't ask
you. I think
you.
I could, that's, if I had to build a stadium, that's how much I could afford. Possibly one row of the plastic seats.
You don't even need plastic. You know, a lot of new stadiums are built with just 40,000 beanbag chairs. Rinse them off.
Millennials would like that. Yeah.
Tim, what's wrong with being an agnostic pervert? You just described our president-elect. Doug, that's from Brian McLaughlin.
No, he's a Presbyterian.
And, well, I guess by definition, I'm Catholic.
Well, he goes to church all the time.
He really does.
Well, and that, of course, makes it legit.
He really
Hey, Doug, I will dig deep into you and come up with more than $1,000. That's from Coach Tim.
I don't know what that means.
I didn't like it, Coach.
I'm streaming in a shower with Roman Polak. Thanks, a Shrewsbury Seminary student. The hell is that?
Our listeners shower with hockey players a lot, apparently.
Doesn't take long to get us off track. Try to discuss a serious issue, and we're talking about showering with Roman Polak.
You ever?
No, but you did some ween picking in the Blues locker room.
You're vile. You should suspend yourself. Yeah,
Doug Waite left town because of it. Well,
Tim, do you know a God exists? You're an agnostic. Do you believe a God exists? You're an atheist. You can be both. Most people are. Barnhart Brawler. Doug, what's that mean?
I don't know, but if you believe a God exists, that doesn't make you an atheist, does it? That's the opposite of being an atheist.
I just read what's in the prompter, sir.
It's the opposite of an atheist.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, I'm not. My answer for the record is, I'm not sure. And to each their own. That's... pretty much it.
But we want an MLS
team. Then I go
on
and try and make the business money.
Right. You want an MLS team.
Well, that's a separate question regarding the existence of a God. But
I was
but sure, I'd be on board.
I was trying to parry it because it really the question of whether or not...
It comes up a lot in church when you talk about, you know, how do we relate to God? Is there a God? Well, but do you want an MLS team?
But we've been discussing MLS, not whether or not God exists. So I was really just trying to parry the question and get us sure. You could be an agnostic, you could be a great Christian, but we all love MLS soccer. That's my point. And we all want a team.
Think about it.
I don't know. I think if we all loved MLS soccer, we'd probably have a team here and a stadium built. It's still, I think to some extent, I think it's still a niche sport.
Well, I think you're naive because I love MLS. And because we haven't had a team here, I've been for years rooting for the Portland Timbers.
Who's your favorite player in the MLS? Can you name one player in the MLS?
Yeah.
Who?
Honestly, on the Portland Timbers?
Yeah.
Benny Savant?
You made that up.
No, I didn't.
You made it up.
He's a striker. Look it up. He led him in goals and assists. Okay. Benny Savant.
Doug, agnostic speaks to what you know. Atheism speaks to what you believe. They're two separate questions.
I understand. They're two separate words with two separate meanings. But he said, apparently, if you believe in God, that makes you an atheist. And that's exactly wrong.
That's why I said we love the MLS, so we didn't have to get stuck in this. Did
you want an MLS team and whether you believe in God are two questions that are intertwined. You can't respond to one without the other.
I agree with that.
And when I said intertwined, did you see what I did with my
finger? Yeah, that was a hand
just
gesture.
Just to kind of explain to you, visual way that the two are intertwined.
I see. I thought you were bringing religion back up by going, here is the church, here is the steeple, open the door and see
that's
all fun. The people.
Yeah, that's fun. That's a fun thing to do.
Doug, people say to me, hey, man, you're so soft. You're so smooth. That's really nice. And I say, well, thank you. And the reason
They say that to you when you're in prison?
No. Sometimes when I'm ponied up on my couch. And the thing about it is Harry's Razors makes it possible. I used to have razors, an old set of razors. I just thought that was the same technology. And then you get nicks and cuts, and it really makes shaving an unpleasant experience. Well, it's a game changer now with Harry's. For decades, one big razor company has relentlessly increased prices and reaped immense profits at the expense of their customers. So Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys who were fed up with getting ripped off, started Harry's to fix shaving. Harry's knew there was only one way to ensure quality. So they bought their own factory by taking less profit and selling directly to you over the internet. Harry's offers their blades at half the price, just $2 a blade, compared to the $4 or more you'll pay at the drugstore. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they want you to try their shave set for free. You heard that right. Just cover shipping when you sign up. Plus, as a special offer for fans of the show, go to harrys.com right now and enter promo code INSIDESTL at checkout to get a post-shave balm also for free. That's harrys.com, promo code INSIDESTL. Kelly Chase going to join us on the other side of the commercial break, brought to you by Petromart, talking about the Blues getting it back on inside the Scott Trade Center, and that's tonight against the Hurricanes, and also his experience with the Winter Classic, both the alumni game and Monday's victory against the Blackhawks, and also the allegations made by Cam Jansen that there was collusion between Chase and the Blackhawks goalie. To allow Chase to score a goal. There's a lot coming up here in this interview brought to you by Petromart with Kelly Chase next on the Ryan Kelly Morning After.